You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Now let me stop you for a moment. Brothers, you do need money if you're going to have a woman. No, it's not that everybody's gold diggers, but you need to have some bronze. If you don't have no gold, at least have some bronze, some nickel, some silver. Everybody don't want the gold, but you got to have something. All women, no. But because a woman does need to know that you can be a provider. And brothers, I'm going to talk to you because all you don't come to man. So things like, sometimes I got exposed in front of the women. I know these women work. I know they take care of their own money. And they tell you they can take care of themselves. But when they get tired, they tired. A woman will work as long as she enjoying working. And when she tired of working, she looking at you like, you need to do something. When she tired, no, I'm serious. As long as they're enjoying it, but now when they have to do it, they're feeling pressure. Pressure. They're feeling pressure. And men, understand, part of your responsibility as a man is to eliminate pressure off of women. I'm going to say it again. Your responsibility as a man is to eliminate pressure off women. So for that reason, when people get married, if I can help them start out, I say, now y'all need to live off one income, ideally yours, the man. Need to live. Live. Live mean rent, mortgage, food, okay? The bare necessity, utility, we can live. Now we're going to live off one, we're going to live better off two. Let me say it again. Live off one, live better off two. So because we live, we're going to eat every day, we're going to keep a roof over our head. Now we may not go out to eat, but we're going to eat. Now you want us to go out to eat, now, we can live better with that check you got. If that be the case. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I have to teach. And so Paul said, don't we have a right? He said, don't we need money to be able to take care of a wife and a family? Verse 6, he said, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to restrain from working? Then Paul says, you need to understand, we are on the battlefield for our Lord. Verse 7, and who goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat from the fruit? Who tends to a flock and does not get milk from the flock? And he says, do I say these things just as a mere man, or does not the law, the scriptures say so? Verse 9, for it is written in the law, you shall not muzzle an ox while it threads out the grain. So you know, they had the oxen, that would be, you know, they would be plowing with the ox, and as they're putting seed, some people, they would put a muzzle on the ox, and the oxen couldn't even eat any of the seed. He said, come on, he's working for you. Let him eat some of the seed if he need to. Don't muzzle the ox. In other words, he's saying, pay the person who's doing the work. He says, is it only oxen God's concerned about? Verse 10, or does he not say it together for our sake? It's for our sakes, no doubt. That it is written, he who plows should plow in hope. He who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. Paul is defending himself to the Corinthian church as to why they need to be givers and why he should be able to live good. Verse 11, he says, if we have sown spiritual things to you, is it a great thing to reap material things? Paul says, this should be a time of reciprocation. And you need to understand, for the purpose of the scriptures here, there's not a distinction being made between ministry and those doing ministry. You all understand what I'm saying here? But we need to understand the principle. He says, Verse 12, he said, if others partake of this right over you, he said, are we not even more? Nevertheless, this because we know y'all got some issues with that part, Corinthian church. Because y'all got some issues, we have not used this right. But we endure all things lest we hinder the gospel. Paul said, we out here struggling and not receiving any offerings from y'all, not letting y'all give because y'all got issues with that part. He said, so to not be a hindrance to the gospel, he said, we won't continue doing what we're doing, preaching the gospel without charge to them. Those verses as you keep going down there, verse 13, he says, Paul said, don't you know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord, look at verse 14, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should what? Live from the gospel. Now, you need to understand, as we're setting our hearts and minds towards superseding is for the ministry and things that the ministry desires to do and for the vision. But I want you to understand this concept here. Because there are people who say things like, and people even on all kinds of social media, about preachers shouldn't be paid. Okay? That's not scriptural. Do you see it right there? Okay? There should be no such thing as a full-time pastor. Should there be a full-time doctor? Should be a full-time plumber? Especially if you're a surgeon. Suppose you're waiting for surgery, and they say, listen, the surgeon going to be a little late today. He had a plumbing job he had to do, and when he get finished the plumbing job, he's going to be here to... Y'all going to have a problem with that. Because you want him to be an expert. You want him to be a professional. You want him to go to continuous learning classes. Keep his license up to date. Whatever is necessary to operate at the level he should. And so Paul is saying that here, even about ministry. Those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Verse 15, he said, but look what Paul said. In your case, because y'all got a problem with that part, I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. Paul said, I ain't trying to get nothing from you, but you need to understand the principle about that part. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. He said, I'd rather die than have y'all talking about that I'm just trying to take your money. Verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity laid upon me, but woe is to me if I preach not the gospel. And if I do it willingly, I'm going to have reward. But if I do it against my will, I've been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? I'm going to preach the gospel that I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel, because y'all got issues with that part. Let's go a little deeper. Paul was put in position of having to justify earning a living from ministry. Keep going. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, chapter, verse 13 and 14. New Living Translation, don't you realize that those who work in the temple get the meals from the temple, and those who serve at the altar should share in the sacrificial offering? In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Those who benefit from the church should also support the church that they benefit from. So Paul had even accepted more from other churches because the Corinthian church had issues with that part. Their lack of generosity and financial support caused him to need more from other churches. Look at that. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, 7 and 8. Y'all learning anything this morning? All right? Yeah, I should have told him to play some dance music, let y'all run a little bit. I forgot. I'm sorry, y'all. I knew you were going to run and shout during this message. I should have let you do that before. Maybe we'll still have some time. Arnsburg and Florence, hopefully y'all ran around and shouted a little bit too. 2 Corinthians 11, 7 and 8, Paul said, did I commit a sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? Because y'all stingy folks had a problem with that part? Look at verse 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. I had to get more from other churches to minister to you And you should be supporting the ministry that you're receiving. He said, but you got issues with that part. And I'm telling you now, he said, I'm writing to you now saying you need to get this together. You need to excel in this part just like you excel in the other part. That verse from the Amplified says, I robbed the other church by accepting more than their share of financial support for my ministry to you. So in 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, he's saying, it's time to come up to excel and start giving generously like the other churches. For some of you here who've been in this ministry, benefiting from this ministry, are blessed through this ministry, it's time for you to start stepping up and doing your part like other people have been doing. We all got a part. There's many of you who should be pillars of provision in this church, who are in a position to do it. Pillars of provision are folks that when we need to get something done, we know we can count on those people to get it done. Years ago, I had to learn the difference between a pillar and scaffolding. A pillar, some of you don't see it, but a pillar is what holds this roof up. Behind these walls, there are pillars. There are things, there are certain pillars that you cannot move. You can take the wall down, but you can't take the pillar down. If you take the pillar down, the whole building won't come down. And so there are pillars. When God gives a vision, he gives pillars. People who hold it up, keep it going. But early on, y'all, I had to realize everybody wasn't pillars. Some people just scaffolding. Now, scaffolding is what they use when they had to keep fixing this. Some of y'all know this is beautiful now, but we had some issues with this. First, they had it out too far. They had it out to about right here. And it wasn't until it was up they realized, oh, got to go back and look at those plans. This ain't where it's supposed to be. Okay? So they had to get scaffolding to get up there. You don't see scaffolding now because scaffolding is temporary. Scaffolding just help you get where you need to get, then it moves on. And we need more pillars and less scaffolding. Now, thank God for scaffolding because scaffolding help you get done what you need to get done when you need to get it done. But a pillar you can depend on. Scaffolding is here today and gone tomorrow, but pillars you can count on. Are y'all listening to me? So Paul tells the Corinthians, it's time. He said, these other churches have become pillars, but y'all haven't. It's time to get that part together. So there comes a time, y'all, when the church, corporately and as individual members, as well as a collective body, we need to start excelling in generosity. We need to go to another level. Many of you, if you were making the same amount of money that you were making 10 years ago, you wouldn't be on that job. Think today, it's particularly started, especially with millennials. I mean, if a millennial's on a job 2 years now, boy, you've got a lot out of them. Because they retiring from where? No, I'm serious. I talk to these millennial pastors. It's not only in corporate, it's pastors. When I talk to millennial pastors today, they will say, oh, I ain't planning on doing this when I'm 50. Now, I'm telling y'all right now, all y'all with these millennial pastors, there ain't nothing wrong with them. But they ain't in this for the long haul. A lot of them I talked to several of them. And they said to me, you been pastoring how long? 28 years. I ain't planning on pastoring for 20. I don't even see myself doing this for 20 years. They already got something else. There's other things that are more important to them. They got other means of making money. And this is scaffolding. Oh, Jesus, help me. Lord, have mercy. Scaffolding. Something they're doing just in the meantime. But can I tell you something? When you call to do something, you do it as long as the Lord tell you to do it. I said, when you're called, you do it for as long as the Lord tells you to do it. Bishop Baird used to say, we don't retire, we refire. So Paul says, you got to abound in his grace. When a church gets this part and excels in generosity, there will not merely be enough. There'll be more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. I look at all that we have done and all we're doing, and yet I say, God, how much more we could do? How much more if everybody excelled in this area? And you can't do what somebody else do, but you can sure do what you're supposed to do. When the church gets this part right, there's going to be more than enough. Exodus 36, 5 through 7. Moses tells the children of Israel as he's getting ready to build the tabernacle. God told him, tell the people what we need to build. Tell them materials. Tell them the skills. Let them know the skill set. Let them need job descriptions for both human resources and material resources. And Moses told the people what they need to build the temple, and the people started giving it willingly. And we pick up here in Exodus 36, 5 through 7, New Living Translation says, they went to Moses and reported, the people have given what? More than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. Verse 6, so Moses gave the command, and this message was then sent to all the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. Why? We have enough. So the people stopped bringing this sacrifice offering. Verse 7 says, their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. When everyone does their part, at according to how God bless you, there will be more than enough for every project that God told us to do. Everything puts in our heart to do, there will be more than enough. Look at somebody and say, just do your part. We see the same thing happening in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah had heard that the priests, they would go down to the temple, there wouldn't be no priests there. They would go down to the temple, wouldn't be no Levites. Nobody prayed with the people. Nobody to counsel people. And they said, well, where are the priests? Where are the Levites? They said, man, they had to go get a job. Because the temple was not able to, it's not supporting them anymore. And their families are gone without. Because the people weren't tithing and bringing offerings. So let's pick up here, 2 Chronicles 31. And then so Hezekiah gets before all the people. He tells everybody what to tell the people. He read from the word how they were supposed to be given. Read about that part. And then verse 5 says, and when the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share of their grain, the new wine, the oil, the honey, and all the produce of the fields. They brought a large quantity and tithe of all they produced. Look, somebody say all. You know, the Bible said bring all the tithes. Especially since you young people, y'all got all these side jobs, all these side hustles. You're supposed to be tithing from all the sides. The north, the south, the west side, the north side, the left side, the right side, all your little sides, you should be tithing from all your sides. Look, somebody say, that part. It said the people, they brought in a large quantity of the tithe of all they produced, and the people had moved to Judah from Israel. And the people of Judah themselves, they brought in tithes of the cattle, the sheep, the goats, of things that had been dedicated to the Lord. And they piled them in great heaps. So much money came, it was in piles. Now, y'all know we would have to put security around those piles today. They started piling it up. They piled it up from late spring, and the heaps continued to grow until early autumn. Verse 8. And when Hezekiah and the officials came and saw these huge piles, they thanked God and his people. We thank God, but we thank God for the people. Thank God for vision, but thank God for the provision that comes through the people. So there's a God part, but there's an our part. All of our help comes from the Lord, but all our help comes through people. So they thank God. They thank God, and they thank the people. Look at verse 9. Where did all this come from? Hezekiah asked the priest, I'm going to leave it. Where did all this come from? And Azariah the high priest from the family of Zodak replied, since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, since they start taking care of that part, we have had what? Enough to eat and plenty to spare, more than enough. and the Lord has blessed his people and all this is left over. Can I tell you, there's something that happens that as you start doing your part, you see God do more of his part. As you start doing your part, you see God doing more of his part. It comes out of one hand, but it'll come into the other hand. As you give, it's going to be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake together, and run it over. God will cause men to give into your bosom. God said, you want me to do my part? Watch you. If you just take care of your part, I'll more than enough do my part, and there'll be more than enough. In Acts, the early church, when we see them take care of that part, Acts 4, 32 through 35, New Living Translation says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. That's stewardship. Understand everything I have comes from the Lord. Everything God's given me, he's given me to take care of it and to administrate over it. I know you got a degree. I know you work hard for your living. I know you work 9 to 5 and 8 to 4 and 15, 60 hours a week. But whatever you have, because God gave you the ability to get it. He said, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. They took care of that part. Verse 33. And the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's great blessing was upon them all. As they were giving and doing their part, God's blessing was upon them all. The King James said there was great grace on all of them. Look at verse 34. There were no needy people among them. There was no needy people among them. There was no needy people among them, because those who own land and houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. There was no needy among them. I believe when we all do our part, there's a great grace that'll come upon us. Poverty will be eliminated from this church in the name of Jesus. The scripture said the poor you'll have with you always, and he says with you, but it don't have to be you. Let me say it again. The poor you'll have with you, but it ain't supposed to be you. God tells us to bless the poor, to minister to the poor, to give to the poor. Well, we can't be the poor if we got to minister to the poor and give to the poor. And as we step up and do more of our part, there's this grace that'll come upon us. And I discovered something over the years. When people get connected to this ministry and follow the teachings that I give them from the word, the economic situation changes. When you see somebody been in this church for 5, 7 years and they're still struggling and they're still going crisis to crisis, ask them, are you a tither? Ask them. And eventually they'll get mad at me and leave. There's no reason for anybody who's been in this church for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, go around begging. And y'all stop letting these people do that in this church. Woman came up here a few weeks ago. I ain't seen her since. And y'all need to chase her away too. She's just a professional beggar. Not only is she a professional beggar, she robbed from one of our deacons in the parking lot. Went through a car and then she come up here begging from y'all and y'all feeling sorry. Sometimes you need to know the full story. You need to know why nobody was given to the prodigal son when he was out there in rebellion. There's a story. And sometimes you need to know people's stories. But I don't believe anybody's in this church and does the word and do the things we encourage. Have you been through D3? Have you got with a financial coach to help you manage your money? Because we try to put you in a position that when supersede come, you'll have something to give without it creating crisis in your life. We're going to give you what you need, but you have to do the work. And you have to do the work. Look, somebody, do the work. Come on, tell somebody else you ain't told them. Tell them, take care of that part. Take care of that part. There were no needy people among them, because those who own land and houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. There are people in this church who bless people that, and watch this, There are people in this church who bless people, and we don't even know anything about it. Because that's what a body does. I just happened to randomly hear about somebody, one of our pillars in the church. He told me, he said, that the Lord put in his heart to regularly and consistently, several times a year, just bless this family who has children. When things like that happen, needs are met. We got another brother in our church right now who needs a kidney. And the first thing he told me, that somebody in the church stepped up and said, I'm going to see if I'm a match. That's the kind of thing that happens in a real body. Are y'all listening to me? But we can't just be takers. You got to do your part. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land and houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. I got to start wrapping this up. But a few points about generosity, about selling that part. Number one, generosity is a choice. You can choose to be generous or you can choose to be stingy. Generosity is a choice. It's an act of your will. So Paul says, now see to it that you excel. He said, you need to voluntarily, by the act of your will, start taking care of that part. In Exodus 35, when Moses got ready to receive that offering that God told him, this is what the Lord told him, Exodus 35 and 5. He said, take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze. New Living Translation says, let those with generous hearts present the gifts to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze. He said, it's an act of your will. He said, don't try to make anybody, don't try to manipulate anybody, don't try to twist anybody's arms. He said, tell them what God requires, and let those who have a willing heart give. Second point, generosity. Listen to me. I started talking about this earlier. Generosity is repayment for how God has blessed and prospered you. And that's an honor system. We used to sing the song, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. Oh, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Nobody knows like you know what the Lord's done for you. Am I right? Am I right about it? Nobody knows like you know what the Lord has done for you. So your giving should reflect what God has done for you. And there's something God done for you, you ain't gonna never tell nobody. Because you're embarrassed that you were ever in that situation, but God got you out. And you should give to reflect what God has done for you. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. The wicked borrow and never, now I always talk about this in terms of paying your bills, but I want you to see this in terms of that part. Are you wicked to never repay God for what he's done for you? It's wicked to receive and don't give back. And y'all need to understand, you need to understand this in life, not just about church and tithes and all. You understand, people are not going to just let you keep sucking on it forever. You can't just be a sucker forever. Now, I may temporarily let you be parasite, but once I realize I'm about to die, I got to get this parasite off me. And some of you wonder why relationships come to an end. Because people get tired. You know what? They only call me when they need something. Whenever I hear from them, it's going to be about something that I can do for them. There's a concept, again, I said a few weeks ago by the Spirit of God, me and Pastor Mark, we've been judging this thing ever since. I said it while I was up here preaching. Some of you find out that you are their friend, but they're not your friends. You call them your friends, but you're really just their friend. You only do for them. They do nothing for you. When they even call you, they will complain and gripe and moan and groan and want you to consult them. They will never ask how your day is. You are a very good friend, but they're not a friend to you. In a real friendship, there's reciprocity. There's give and take. We can't all give and take the same thing, but they ought to be giving and receiving.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.